know, along the way, in my career personally, I've had a lot of people give me really good advice. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from a gentleman by the name of Lou Skeezus. This is when Lou worked at ROB-TV. And he said, in your life, in your career, you're going to come, you're going to enter moments and things are going to happen where you make a mistake. Sometimes it's a small mistake. Sometimes, in the case of one of the focuses of today's show, the Chicago Blackhawks, a large mistake made by a number of different people. And he said this, always remember this one little rule. When you mess up, fess up and dress up. When you mess up, fess up and dress up. Yesterday, the Chicago Blackhawks admitted they made numerous mistakes, that numerous people made numerous mistakes in the Brad Aldrich sexual assault of John Doe, unnamed player. So they acknowledged that they messed up. Yesterday, they fessed up. They said, we need to do something to make this right. Al Mikhaizik gone, Stan Bowman, general manager, gone as well. A lot of this, if you've read the report, deals with who had reporting obligation. That was certainly John McDonough, who is no longer with the Chicago Blackhawks. But there were others that remained silent in the situation. Did nothing, reported nothing. This was right before, as we all know, the Chicago Blackhawks are about to take on the Philadelphia Flyers in the Stanley Cup Final, a series that they won. And it seemed as if, at that point, as we look back now with our historical lens, they put wins above humanity. And how many times have we heard, don't be a distraction? How many times have we heard, oh, you don't want anything to distract from the focus? I've always hated that term. I've always hated that phrase. I've always hated hearing it from coaches. I've always hated hearing it from players. Because you're not just a singularly focused individual. You're not just a hockey player. You're not just a hockey coach, manager, etc. You're a human being. You're a person first. You're a player second. You're a person first. You're a coach second. You're a person first. You're a manager second. There's a lot of questions about a couple of individuals that are still out there. Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, and also Florida Panthers head coach Joel Quenneville. Now, Joel Quenneville will be behind the bench tonight as the Florida Panthers are playing. He will meet with the commissioner, Gary Bettman, tomorrow to discuss the report. That is the Jenner and Block report that we all had a chance to read yesterday. But he's behind the bench tonight as the Panthers face off against the Boston Bruins. That disturbs a lot of people, and understandably so. I get it. One of the questions we're going to talk about on today's show is what happens next? You know, what happens next with John Doe? We know the Blackhawks will try to reach a settlement with this player. But also the Blackhawks need to do a few things as well. And they know it. Rocky Wirtz knows this. Danny Wirtz knows this. The entire Blackhawks organization knows this. Part of what they need to do now is demonstrate that they can rebuild a trust. They can rebuild a trust with their fans. They can rebuild a trust with their community. They can rebuild the trust with their sponsors. Rebuild the trust with people that keep the lights on. Rebuild the trust with people that had faith in them as an organization. And I think a lot of this, I don't want this to sound trivial. I don't want to trivialize any of this because the most important person here is John Doe. And hopefully he had a good night's sleep for the first time in a long time last night. Hopefully yesterday brought this person peace of mind. And they're able to breathe a little bit easier. And when their head hit the pillow, they fell asleep quickly. That's most important. But at the heart of a lot of all of this, as you read through the report and how the Blackhawks behaved, you might say to yourself, I can see other teams doing the same thing. As long as there is a win at all costs mentality, as long as there is an I will do anything to win, and winning is the most important, and it doesn't matter what the casualties are along the way, then I think we have a problem, not just in hockey, but in all of sports as well. I tweeted out one of my favorite quotes yesterday from Teisen Deshimaru, who said, if you say, I must win, you cannot win. Because where's the value in winning if it sucks the humanity out of your soul? Where's the good? I mean, we're all going to look back at that 2010 Stanley Cup victory now with a different lens. And that's unfair to a lot of those players. To a lot of those players that didn't know. And I know a lot of people say, well, they all must have known. Everybody must have known. I don't know that. But we're all going to look at 2010 now with a different focus and a different lens. Going to talk to Mark Lazarus about the Blackhawks situation and what's next with the Hawks in hour two. Rick DiPietro will stop by as well. We'll talk about the New York Islanders. Bottom of this hour, Ryan Leslie, Calgary Flames host with Sportsnet, is going to stop by. Don't look now, but the Flames are hot. But we'll start with the Chicago Blackhawks situation with Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. And Elliot, there's a whole lot here from a lot of different angles, but let me start with your reaction. Since we were on the air yesterday and we talked about there was going to be an announcement, and it turned out to be, you know, the Blackhawks addressing the Jenner and Block report, which we all had a chance to read yesterday. I think we were all disgusted as we read through it. I think we're all maybe not surprised, but how can you not be shocked? Take us through your afternoon yesterday during the press conference, after the press conference went through Elliot Friedman's head.
Well, I'm still processing it, Jeff, to be honest. You know, I sat down to write something and then I didn't like it. And I'm writing it again. I wrote it again this morning and I didn't like it. And then there came some more information. So I'm still kind of working at it. You want to get this right. I don't know. I definitely feel a loss of enthusiasm today. Like that, I've read the report, I think, three times now just to make sure that you get all the notes correct and everything and make sure you aren't missing anything. It was brutal to read. Like there's just nothing else to say about that. And I definitely feel a loss of enthusiasm about things today.
Yeah. No settlement's going to heal the scar that John Doe has. That's going to live with John Doe for the rest of his life. But as I was saying off the top before he came in, I hope that yesterday was the beginning of a lot better days for John Doe, that he's able to breathe easier and sleep a little deeper as well. And listen, I think all of us, you know, I should say the lion's share, the majority of us, because there's still some idiots out there. All of our thoughts are with him initially.
If there's any consolation from his statement yesterday, it sure made it sound like yesterday was a very good day for him. So,
yeah,
that was good to see that at least he feels some vindication, which is important, and hopefully that continues as the days go on.
So here becomes, and there's a number of questions here, but let's start with the Hawks and what's next. Off the top of the show, I mentioned, one thing that that Lou Skeezus taught me when we used to work together in a different lifetime. He said, you know, when you make a mistake, here's what you follow. When you mess up, fess up and dress up. Hawks made a mistake. Yesterday they fessed up and now they have to dress up. What do the Hawks do now? Stan Bowman is gone. They'll look for a full-time replacement, a new general manager. There is still other business to do within the halls of the Blackhawks offices. But you're the Blackhawks this morning. You wake up. You're in the Wirtz family. What do you do today?
Oh boy, that's a great question.
Where do you even begin?
Well, I mean, they really started yesterday. They started yesterday. I think what you have to do is you're trying to do is regain your credibility, right? Mm-hmm. Like the thing that was really tough for me to read, and there was a lot in there that was tough to read, obviously, but some things I was expecting and some things I wasn't. And, you know, one of the things I wasn't expecting to see was the report about the intern, from the time that they were told that they had their first meeting about Aldrich and things were brought to his attention. And then before Aldrich was left, you know, there was an intern who was assaulted. And like, to me, that's such a huge failure. And, you know, what has to happen is that you have to make sure that, like to me, that the $2 million fine, that's not enough. You know, I think they should have gotten draft pick penalties. You know, the one thing I do think that could really be a deterrent is, you know, we look, there's four people already, although two of them were already gone, but now four people have lost their jobs and they have to meet with the commissioner if they're going to be reinstated. And, you know, that is something that people in the future can look at and say, boy, if I don't report, even if I'm not the most senior person in the room, you know, I could lose my job over this. But I think the number one thing that I want to, and, you know, there's still questions about a couple other people. So the number one thing I want to see out of it, Jeff, is, you know, we have to make it so that that situation in particular can never happen again. You know, you have to, you know, the less, when I see things like this, I think, like, have I ever done anything like that in terms of not protected anyone like the way I could have protected them? And we just have to make sure that everybody realizes that there are consequences when something isn't taken care of and then something happens after.
Yeah. See, I don't think it's just the Hawks either. I mean, one of the things that this really, reading through this report, you tend to think about all these people, you know, in the NHL, but for the purposes of this discussion with the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, what have these people grown up with? They've grown up with this idea of don't be a distraction. You'll be rewarded if you ignore things. Don't get involved. Just focus on yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. And I think that kind of thinking and that kind of, you know, behavior coupled with, you know, the idea of winning at all costs, and we put so much of a premium on winning that sometimes, and in situations like this, certainly, it affects our humanity. And I don't just think this is about the Hawks. Like, I think this, I don't even think this is just about hockey either. I think this is about a lot about sports culture, and specifically a sports culture that puts so much of a premium on winning that nothing else seems to matter, and these are the casualties of it. Right? Like, how many times have you heard, man, I'll tell you what, Friedge, this is one thing that always pisses me off. Every year at the Combine, and I'm sure you've talked to kids about this as well, you always ask, like, what are some of the weirdest questions that teams will ask you? And it's always things like, you know, if it meant you would win a Stanley Cup, would you take this pill even if it took 10 years off your life? Like, stupid questions like that, testing how much you really want to win. Like, what's your desire to win? How many times have you heard, like, oh, this guy just so singularly focused on winning? Win, 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 win. Well, you know what? There's a casualty cost that comes along with that. And I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people, Elliot, I mean, I shouldn't say I don't know about you, because I know you. I won't look at the 2010 Stanley Cup victory the same, and I don't think that you will either. I don't think it's possible to. And I made the point off the top that it's probably not fair to some people who didn't know at all what was going on, but I can't look at that Philadelphia-Chicago series now through the same lens that I had until this story broke, and then most specifically when I read the report last night. What do you think?
Well, I think the thing is, too, is Jeff, is that this story isn't over.
Yeah.
Like somebody compared it, like, we have a report here that the Blackhawks have accepted. You know, they said yesterday they feel they have a legal, that they feel they have a good legal case, but they're going to settle. So the Blackhawks have accepted the outcome of this report. But does anybody think this is over? Somebody compared it to an iceberg. You know, it's like we see 1/7 of the iceberg, and the majority of it, the vast majority of it, is underneath. And, you know, I think there's going to be more that trickles out of this. You know, like, you know, the Players Association, the other players on Chicago. You know, the story there about John Doe getting taunted. You don't think people are going to be chasing that?
They are. I can tell you for I can tell you for a fact. People are. You know, people are.
Yeah.
They already
of course.
Are. They are. They are.
I think that's. I think all of this is. Like I don't think the thing with Joel Quenneville, I don't believe that Joel Quenneville should be coaching tonight. Now I watched his media conference this morning. George Richards put it up from Florida, and I can understand the way that Joel Quenneville is thinking. He thinks I'm a coach and I'm going to coach until they tell me I can't coach anymore, and that's his mindset. And that's what he's thinking when he's talking to George Richards in the media this morning. And one of the Boston reporters, Matt Porter, he said that, Quenneville was asked if he stood by his statement from the summer. And he said yes, but he wouldn't say anything else. And, the way I look at it is this. We have a report now that's been accepted. And Quenneville's statement is in direct dispute with that report. We now know that Quenneville is meeting with the league tomorrow in New York City. And I just think for the sensitivity of the situation, you can even say if you want, this is not an admission of guilt, but Joel Quenneville is going to be focused on the meeting tomorrow and Ulf Samuelsson is going to coach us tonight. I just think that, I think a lot of people are in shock by what they read yesterday. Like I said, Jeff, I think people were expecting something. I still think that exceeded expectations, and I think we have to be sensitive to that.
Further on the Joel Quenneville thing, and I agree with you, I don't think that Joel Quenneville should be coaching the Panthers tonight against the Boston Bruins. But I don't know how you can... I mean, the issue with Quenneville in the Jenner and Block report is that he was part of a meeting where this was all discussed and was brought to everyone's attention. Yet the point, the prevailing point, which won out, was we're going to put this off. We're going to deal with this after the series. We're going to put this off, punt it down the road, and deal with it at a later date. Not give it the immediacy that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at this Florida Panthers situation with Joel Quenneville right now, and isn't he doing the same thing? I've got a job to do. I've got a game to coach. I'll deal with the NHL tomorrow.
Well, I think that's...
I see a symmetry there.
That's why somebody else has to step in and say, look, we're taking this decision out of your hands.
So for the Chicago Blackhawks now, one of the questions becomes, how do they rebuild the trust in the community, the trust with fans, the trust with sponsors, the trust with, people and businesses that believed in them? And, one of the first steps is identifying and naming a new full-time general manager. And there are a lot of names that have already popped up. Do you have a thought on what type of people the Blackhawks need to surround their organization with now that they need to have a new, they need to present a new version of Chicago to the marketplace to repair damage? And the obvious name that I think is probably on the tip of your tongue right now and is on a lot of is Ed Olchuk.
Well, this is what I would do. And this is today, and I haven't thought about it a ton. One of the things that they're going to have to do here in Chicago is determine what their pace is going to be. What do you do on ice? We've forgotten this because it's not the most important thing, but on ice, they're having an awful year.
Yeah.
And, how do you deal with all this? And I think it's a two-person job. I think you have to hire two people. One person who is just in charge of the hockey decisions, and one person who has to go into the community and rebuild the roots. And I agree with you. I think Ed Olchuk is going to have serious consideration and probably should be the guy to rebuild the roots. He can be your president of hockey ops or whatever you want to call him, or whatever title you want to give. But he's the person who's going to be the face as you go out there and try to gain the trust of your fans back. You know, I'll tell you this, the GM candidate who was pointed out to me today, and it makes a lot of sense, was Jeff Gordon. And the reason is that he kind of stewarded the Rangers through their kind of fast rebuild. And it wasn't supposed to be as quick as it was, but they got some lottery luck and he made some good moves. And the other thing too is, like, I don't know what's going to happen in the future with Kane and Taves. I don't know, like, where this is going to go, but he's the guy who dealt with the departure of Henrik Lundqvist. So he's kind of gone through that. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Gordon worked in a situation in New York where he had, you know, where he had John Davidson above him. He's kind of used to that structure. And I do think that Jeff Gordon will be a serious contender there. You know, I think there's going to be, like, despite what's happened, I think there's going to be a lot of people who go after that job. First of all, it's one of 32. And secondly, I think the Blackhawks are going to look at this and say, you know, like, we really have to do everything we can to repair ourselves. And there's going to be a lot of resources put into that.
As you mentioned, the story is far from being over, far from being done. We're going to do much more on it later on in this program, Elliot. I'm sure we'll talk about it on our podcast when we record the next one, and the story will continue. This one's not going anywhere. Elsewhere around the NHL, from last night, the Montreal. Oh, by the way, one final thing on Chicago. You mentioned, you know, on the ice, they're having a really tough time. A number of players in COVID protocol right now, and an assistant coach in Mark Crawford. They face off against the Maple Leafs tonight in a clash of, quote unquote, something has to happen. What do you look for tonight? I mean, Maple Leafs are getting it from all sides. Chicago has just gone through, you know, what they've gone through in the last 24 hours. I don't even know what to expect tonight. Do you?
No, I have no idea. I really don't. Like, I guess Lankinen's starting today, eh?
He is, yes.
I was surprised at that. I just saw a tweet about that. You know, Fleury must be feeling really off about his game right now. Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what to expect. Two very vulnerable teams. I wasn't supposed to work tonight, and now I am. And, you know, I was kind of like, my head is not even into thinking about a hockey game. So I think the players are wired differently. I'm sure that they're like, we got to win a game. But I know tonight I have no idea what to expect from this.
Same. Last night, the Seattle Kraken raised a banner for 1917. Nice touch. Really nice video, by the way. I got to give it to the Seattle Kraken. That video before the banner unveiling was outstanding.
Frank Foyston's, was it grandson and granddaughter?
Wasn't that great? That was awesome. It was a really nice, like, listen, they're hitting so many notes, Seattle is. Really nice job with the Kraken there. And then they win, and Brandon Tanev is becoming a star. In Seattle. But at the end of it, at the other end of the rink, the Montreal Canadiens, coming off a big win against the Detroit Red Wings at the Bell Center on Saturday, lose again. Do you have a thought on Montreal right now?
I really didn't watch a lot of it last night, to be honest, Jeff. I mean, we've had this conversation. I think if you're the Canadiens now, you're punting on the season. You're all in for Shane Wright. That's what I would do.
This early?
I know that there are people, well, put it this way. I don't think you're doing anything to really try to crazy improve yourself where you give up anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not making if you're trading for someone who you think can help you for a long time. Yeah, I would consider that one, but to make a move that'll, even Bergevin said it, to make a move that's going to just kind of move you sideways for this year. And mm-hmm. and I completely agree with something you said. You know, they already have one first round pick tied up in the Dvorak deal. Like, you're not risking your first rounder where you could, you know, where you're picking in front of your home fans. I think you have to, I know that, you know, Brendan Gallagher will want to smash me in the face hearing that. But, you know, like if I'm Montreal, I'm like, I'm punting this year. Unless the players crawl back into it, which would be very impressive.
That's a great point, by the way, about Brendan Gallagher. But players, listen, not a secret to you, really shouldn't be a secret to anyone. Players in the NHL don't care about the draft. They're not in the green bananas business. They're in the wins business. They don't care about the draft. If they get, if they give up a first round pick to bring in a player that'll help them, they say do it every single time. You got a busy day ahead of you, Friedrich. I know you got to write. I know you got TV tonight too. So, and I hope you get a chance to take care of yourself and go for a walk, clear your head, do something, get on your Peloton. I know you're a big Peloton guy. I know it's been, in your capacity, really challenging the last 24 hours.
I don't know, Jeff. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. And right now, I'll just keep them to myself. But I have a lot of thoughts about what we can do and how we could do more.
No hurry. Take your time. Clear your head. Go for a walk. Or as my good friend Bob's mom, Frances, used to tell me, lie down, have a sandwich, everything will be better.
All right. As a matter of fact, I have a sandwich right in front of me. Thanks, Jeff.
Enjoy. Bon appetit. Thanks, Friedrich.
Bye.
See you, bud.